Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 6. And one verse for our text this evening. And that is verse 12. John chapter 6 and verse 12. But first I want us to pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God of all creation, God of all love and comfort, we beg thy blessings upon us in these moments when we open thy word, that the Holy Spirit might speak to our hearts. For we be unworthy, we are undeserving, we are incapable and truly inadequate for the task of the proclamation of the gospel, for we dwell yet in bodies of clay. We thank thee that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, and with an everlasting redemption thou hast redeemed us. And we thank thee that we have an everlasting song of praise within our hearts, because thou hast in thine own blood loosed us from our sins. We ask that as we read these few words and as we attempt to expound upon the scriptures, that the Holy Spirit would indite a good matter within our hearts. Should there be those without the Savior, may they not leave until they trust Him. Should there be those seeking a church home, may they find it in fellowship with Worth Baptist. And should there be those, Heavenly Father, whose membership is here and who are Christians and who love Thee, but yet find that they've lost something in their lives, may they find it and regain it in these moments, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 12. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You know the story in the first 11 verses of this wonderful chapter, for it records the only miracle that is recorded in all four gospel accounts, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus, among other things, must have been an economical specialist. When He had fed 5,000 men beside the women and children, He said to His disciples, gather up that which is left over, that nothing be lost. I am here to declare to you, and I believe upon the authority of God's word, that there are no small things and there's no room for waste in God's economy with man, whether it be in spiritual matters or matters financial. We must carefully guard the possessions that God has given us, lest we lose them. And Jesus said, gather them up, that nothing, even the least crumb, nothing be lost. After all, Jesus is in the preserving business. Jesus has preserved us by the marvelous grace of God in His own precious blood, sealed by the Holy Spirit. I could almost shout on that. Amen. Couldn't you? God has seen to it that we would not be lost. What a miracle of grace that is. How much it cost God to preserve our unworthy soul. We ought to be anxious. We ought to be very careful that nothing is lost in our Christian experience. Every newspaper you pick up has a lost and found department. You ought to read them sometime. It's very interesting. I don't read them because I've lost anything, but I just read them to see what other people have lost. Who knows? I might find it. There might be a reward for it. Read the lost and found column. You might find something that you've lost a long time ago. Maybe somebody's found it. You never can tell. Every large store has a lost and found department where they bring lost parents and wayward children. And other things that are strewn along the aisles of the great department stores. And you know what? In the Christian economy, and this ought not to be, there is a lost and found department. In your life and mine. That's what I want to talk to you about for a few moments. First of all, what have we lost? Now, there's one thing that you have not lost because you cannot lose it, and that's your soul. Amen. If you are saved tonight, you are just as much saved as you ever shall be. Amen. As far as your soul is concerned. If we pray not amiss, we ought to pray that the Lord would hasten the day that he would come to redeem these vile, sinful bodies and fashion them like unto his own glorious body so that we would be totally redeemed. Amen. You see, we await the redemption of our body at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our blessed hope. Don't worry about losing your salvation. If you are willing to trust God to save you, beloved, be willing to trust him to keep you saved.
Amen.
It's like the illustration, Brother Don, that I heard your dad use one time about the little boat that had gone out into the waters and the owner of it got it back. And to make a long story short, he said, "You are twice mine. I made you and now I've bought you." And that's exactly our status before God. God made us in his own likeness and in his own image. By his hand, by his own breath, he made us, and by his own blood, he has redeemed us.
Amen.
Don't worry about losing your salvation, but be on your guard that you don't lose some other things. And here's one thing that I think that many Christians have lost or are losing tonight. And that is the awareness of the presence of God in our lives. Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 that our bodies, just like the bodies of the Corinthian believers, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, "Well, I wouldn't go anywhere that I couldn't take the Lord with me." Don't worry about it. You won't go anywhere that you can't take the Lord with you. Because in the person of the Holy Spirit, he is abiding in your heart. Paul writes in Romans, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Your body as a believer is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God dwells in you. What? Know ye not that you are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are God's from head to toe. Now you might want to reserve something for self, but that's being selfish about it. Every good and perfect gift cometh from God. The air that we breathe, he gives us. The energy that we expel to work and make a living, God gives it to us. All that we are and ever could hope to be is because of the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let us not be guilty of losing the awareness that everywhere we go, Jesus goes with us. And he goes along beside us as our advocate, as the one who represents us before God, in us, about us, above us, beneath us, and all around us. We are closed in on every side by the Holy Spirit. Don't ever lose the sense of God's presence in your life. Because once you do, your life will become careless and indifferent and inconsistent. Something else that a lot of Christians have lost in the 20th century, and that is a sense of urgency in Christian service. A sense of getting the job done now. I fear that too many of us are like our friends south of the border. It's always mañana, tomorrow. Wait until tomorrow. But no, it's today. Now is the present time. God deals always in present time. You remember when Jesus was raised from the dead, he said to his disciples, "Well, if you have an opportunity, if you get a chance, if it's convenient at your convenience, be sure to tell Peter if you think about it." and my disciples that I'm going to meet them. No, he didn't. Jesus said, go quickly and tell Peter and my disciples. There's a sense of urgency about the proclamation of the gospel. For surely the time is short, and the day is far spent, and the night is at hand. No wonder Jesus said, work, for the night is coming, when no man can work. I pray God we at Worth Baptist would never lose the sense of urgency in serving Christ in 1969. Amen. And there's something else that we don't want to lose. That is the sweetness of Christian fellowship. Oh, so many people have lost this. We have become so bogged down with so many things and so involved in so many other affairs and activities that we've lost the sweetness of Christian fellowship. That's one reason that I want us to emphasize Wednesday nights as family nights, so that the families of the church can come together and have sweet fellowship one with another, and fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Spirit around the Word of God. We need sweet Christian fellowship. That does not mean that we are not going to see each other's faults and errors along the way, because we are. And some are more pronounced than others. But you know, there's so much good in the very worst of us that it's hard for us, really, when we come right down to it. It matters not how bad a person is. There must be something good about them. Look for that which is good in your fellow Christians. And who knows? You might have a different attitude toward them. You might begin to understand why they are the way they are. Open your spiritual eyes and look for that which is good in the church and in your pastor and in the choir. If you don't think the choir's singing like they should, get up there and help them. If you don't think the Sunday school superintendent is operating like he ought to, get in here on Tuesday night and help him out. Amen. Wednesday night and any other time you can do it. Amen. You don't think your pastor's doing right? Pray for him. Don't try to get another preacher. I won't hear for that. But just help me. I'm doing the best I can. And you ought to be doing the best you can. I told you in the bulletin this week that in 1969 I want to give you my best, and I'm going to fail. I'll tell you that to start with. It wouldn't take much of a prophet to reveal that. Because I'm human. You ought to understand, because you also are human. But working together in sweet fellowship, I believe if this army keeps marching, one day we'll outshine the sun. Amen. Don't lose the sweet Christian fellowship. And say, don't lose, and this is something that a lot of people have lost, the tenderness of their first devotion. Oh, what a sad thing it is to see a Christian who has left their first love. Jesus, in writing to the church at Ephesus, said, thou hast left thy first love. Don't leave it. Don't lose that tenderness of that first devotion. You remember when you were first saved? Ah, you felt like you could turn the world upside down. Now some of you look like the world's been turned upside down on you. Don't let it be so. Let us advertise to the world that there is joy and peace and everlasting happiness in serving our great God. We might wake up and do something about winning the lost to Christ if we stay in that first devotion. Let us not be guilty of losing our first love and first devotion. And let us not lose the joy of our salvation. This is a tragic thing. Many a Christian is walking around tonight with about that much joy when they could have that much. They could have their buckets full and running over. They carry around a little thimble with just a little drop in it of the real joys that God has for the believer. Let's not lose the joy of our salvation. I'm talking about the lost and found department. Have you lost some of these? Well, you say, maybe I have, but I really don't know how I've lost them. That's what I want to talk to you about right now. How have we lost some of these things that we've been talking about? Like our awareness of God's presence. Like the sense of urgency, like the sweetness of Christian fellowship, like the tenderness of the first devotion, like the joy of our eternal salvation. How have we lost them? I submit at least three ways. One, we have neglected our Christian duties. This will cause you to lose that first devotion I'm talking to you about. Whenever we neglect Bible study and prayer and witnessing and church attendance and these things that we are given to do, when we lose sight of those things and neglect them, then I believe we're going to begin to lose out in the Christian experience. Amen. And this is tragic. Secondly, we have lost them by lowering our Christian standards. You know, that's sort of what Peter did when he cursed and swore that he never knew Christ. The lowering of Christian standards. And here's something that we've got to be carefully on guard about. Because this is a permissive age. What are we permitting ourselves and our families to do that, say, 4, 5, 10 years ago we would not have done? Has God changed? Has the principle of the Word changed? No. Let us not then lower our Christian standards, because if we do, we're going to lose out on these things that we talked to you about a moment ago. And then, another way that we've lost them, not only by neglecting Christian duties and lowering our Christian standards, but by allowing sin to reign in our mortal bodies. Paul spends the whole 6th chapter of Romans on this. He talks about our being crucified with Christ. He talks about the old man, the ego, the self being crucified. And Paul says, let not therefore sin reign in your body, and yield not your instruments as instruments of unrighteousness. Reckon yourselves as dead unto sin and alive unto God forevermore. That's how we lose these wonderful Christian virtues, by neglecting our Christian duties, by lowering our Christian standards, by allowing sin to reign within our bodies. And I would not leave you without telling you how we can find these things again. How can we find those things that we've lost? Well, now, if a man loses his billfold, say he loses it in the Poly area, what do you think he does? Takes a bus over to the west side of town and look for his billfold? A lot of Christians try this. They know exactly the area in their own Christian lives where they've lost out, and yet they're taking a bus to go somewhere else to find it. It can't be done. If you've lost your billfold in the Poly area, comb the Poly area and you'll find it. You see what I mean? If you have lost out on these things, there must be the same principle involved. I believe this. Jacob would never have regained what he lost unless he had come back to Bethel. That's where he made his mistake when he departed Bethel and went into the wandering country and left God and left the Bible, as it were, and left Christian devotion and prayer and the altar of worship. Because you don't read in all of those 20 years of Jacob's backsliding where he ever built an altar. Where there's no prayer, there's losing constantly. I say again, I do not believe that Jacob would ever have regained what he lost if he had not come back to Bethel. I'm glad that you and I have a Bethel in our lives tonight. When God said to Jacob, arise, Jacob, and go back to Bethel. Somehow I believe that Jacob called his family together and told his family of the mistakes that he had made and gave to them the revelation that he had received from God. And Jacob gathered up all of his belongings and all of his family and made their way back to Bethel. The tenderness of that moment must have been a very unusual one when Jacob found back at Bethel the thing that he had lost, the thing that he had left behind, the thing that he had longed for in those years of wandering. Jacob found them only when he came back to the place where he lost them. What must we do to find those things? One, we must return to the place where we left God. Two, we must repent of our sins. And three, we must renew our vows to God. This will ensure us finding what we've lost. There is a lost department, and thanks be unto God, there is a found department. Amen. We can find what we've lost if we come back to the place where we left it. Are you willing to do that in your life? Then you with Jacob can go on your way, evermore rejoicing, because you've come back to the Bethel of your Christian experience. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we pause in these moments in closing this service, we rejoice, we rejoice, we rejoice, we keep on rejoicing, because Thou hast saved us, and Thou hast put us in this place, Thou hast given us a work to do, and Thou hast given us direction, and Thou hast given us a sense of balance for our Christian experience and a sense of direction for our lives. And we would only pray that we might realize the danger of losing these things in our own Christian experiences that will cost us dearly. And should there be those who in their own hearts tonight feel that they've lost out somewhere in some area of their lives, may they come to the found department and regain every loss and receive a bonus besides, is our prayer in Jesus' name.